So good. Well, we are finishing up here the last three talks of our Rock Solid classes. We're going to be talking now about love languages. And let me just share this before we get into it. A lot of the content that I'm going to share for this particular talk comes from Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. It's a great book. If you have not read it, check it out. I'm going to be repeating a lot of what he shares and then adding some of my own thoughts. Let me also just share this. The goal of covering these five love languages is to help us understand the importance of knowing our spouse. That's really the underlying goal, knowing our spouse. Because when you know and understand your spouse, you're setting up your marriage for success. Part of this is knowing how they tick. What makes them feel treasured? What makes them feel valued? What makes your spouse feel important or strong or handsome or beautiful or treasured or cherished? You guys know this verse. Jesus said this. He said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And the big idea of the book is simply this. Inside every person, there is what the author calls an emotional tank waiting to be filled with love. And if that tank is not filled, then we feel empty. Each one of us hears or receives love differently, and each one of us speaks or gives love differently. Again, this is coming from The Five Love Languages, that book, great book by Gary Chapman. One important dynamic to understand also is this. During courtship, if a lot of you guys are kind of newly dating or during engagement, each of us is giving our full attention to the relationship. So it's pretty easy to speak all five of the love languages. But after marriage and other circumstances or season of life crowd in, we tend to default to speaking only one or two of our top love languages. We also, as couples, tend to change some of these love languages throughout different seasons of life. For example, maybe a baby comes into your marriage and your love language will change a little bit. Or there's a death of somebody in your family, your love language might change. Again, the big idea is that you know and understand your spouse. How do they hear love, receive love? How do they speak love, give love? And if your partner's top love languages are your bottom love languages, as is often the case, you can unintentionally fall out of love. So you need to make sure that you're working at speaking your partner's love language to the best of your ability until death do you part. So with that said, I'm going to briefly hit, each one of these can be a message all on their own, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to fly through these. Let's talk about them, the five love languages. Words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Those are the five major love languages. Let's start with talking a little about words of affirmation, giving you guys some examples. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Or this one, Proverbs 15:30, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, but good news or words give health to the bones." Proverbs 12:25, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Again, it is power, words of affirmation. The most powerful person in my life outside of Jesus Christ is my wife. And the most powerful thing she does to me is speak. And she has the ability either to blow me up and make me feel like a superhero, awesome stud, or totally tear me down. And I have that same power in her life. I can either blow her up, encourage her, affirm her, or with my words, tear her down. The tongue, what we say is a big deal. And words of affirmation are broken down into three kind of mini categories. There are words of encouragement, speaking kindly to one another, and making humble requests rather than demands. These three things all affirm your partner's self-worth. They create intimacy. They can heal wounds. They can bring out your marriage's full potential when you use words of affirmation in these three ways the way that they're supposed to be used. Let me just give you some examples of what this looks like in my marriage. Encouragement. This is one of my love languages, me particularly. This is how I receive love. Words of affirmation specifically. This guy needs a lot of encouragement, okay? When Kim and I first got married, I remember I gave a message. I said, hey, babe, how was the message? How did I do? And she said, oh, you did good. You need to give me way more than that. You need to tell me what was good. What did I say that was awesome? What did I do that was encouraging? Tell me which points did you really like? Where did I look handsome? Where did I look hot? Where on the stage was I standing? Tell me your favorite point or when I'm playing music. What songs did I sing the best? What song did you like? How did it touch you in your own way? How did God speak to you? Encourage me more. So Kim has really learned to do this well. She encourages me all the time. She just fans my ego into a huge bubble. It's awesome. All the time. She's telling me I lead well or I play music well, that I'm a good dad, that I'm teaching well. That is my love language. Encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Speaking kindly. Let's talk about this. I asked Kim, how do I do with speaking kindly? She said, I do a pretty good job at this, even when she's cranky or anxious. She says that I tend to be gentle. I lower my voice. I speak to her in a kind way. I don't meet fire with fire. Kim has said that, or one of the things that we have done in our marriage early on when we first started dating is we told each other we are not going to make a habit of snapping at each other. And you guys know what I'm talking about. All of us have been around couples in our own family or seen couples in the world where they just kind of bark at each other or bark orders at each other or snap at each other or make mistakes and say, oh, I don't know, Margot. Not our world. You guys seen Christmas Vacation. You should see that show. It's awesome. We make a habit of not snapping at each other. We want to speak kindly to one another. We don't want to be harsh with one another. And that comes down to this one too. Making humble requests. We don't demand of one another. We don't tell each other what they should be doing or what we should be doing. Instead, we have a very conversational approach to how we handle things in our marriage. We say things like this. What are your thoughts about this? For example, honey, what are your thoughts about me taking the kids away for a little while and you getting done here in the house what you wanted to get done? What are your thoughts about that? Or babe, what are your thoughts about me staying here and getting these things done, getting some work done, and then maybe, what are your thoughts about, could you run some of those errands? Could we get that done today? What are your thoughts? It's not, go to the store, do this, it's making humble requests, speaking kindly, encouraging one another, words of affirmation. What we say and how we say it to our spouse has the ability to puff them up or rip them down. So if you are a words of affirmation person, here is your homework, okay? Compliment your partner in the presence of their parents or their friends. Just do that. Sometime this week, you'll get double credit, especially if it's in front of their parents, because your partner will feel so loved and your parents will be like, oh, we have such a great son-in-law or daughter-in-law. So that's your job. Compliment them in front of somebody else. Compliment them in front of their family or in front of their friends. So that's the first one, words of affirmation. Let's go to the second one, quality time. This is a love language, spending quality time together through conversation, closeness, participation in joint, meaningful activities. It communicates that we truly care for and enjoy one another. Quality time simply means this: togetherness and focused attention. It's not just sitting next to each other while watching TV. It's not just close proximity. It's about being together. And part of quality time, part of togetherness, part of focused attention is having quality conversation. Where as a married couple, you speak emotions and you hear emotions. Where you spend time focusing on the relationship as a whole. Focusing on oneness. Focusing on togetherness. Having quality conversations where you're sharing your heart. And again, I could talk all night on this, but one example from my own marriage. Because again, I'm a quality time kind of person as well. So is Kim. That's her love language. Is we take walks. And that gets a little harder when you have kids. And so now what we do is when our kids are in bed, we have three, or when they're napping, we have a street that just runs this way. And we walk right out in front of our street while our kids are napping. Because I can see the front door from everywhere we are walking. And I know if my kids have gotten out of bed and I have the lights on, I could see the shadows. And so Kim and I, we just walk in front of our house back and forth. holding hands. Seems kind of silly, but for 20 or 30 minutes, we're just talking. I like to move when I'm communicating. I like to be doing something with her, and to me, that's just walking. And husbands, you should learn this question. Ask your wife, what is on your heart? Ask her that. When Kim and I are walking up and down our street, keeping one eye on the door to make sure the kids are doing okay, I will ask her, honey, what's on your heart? What's going on? And she'll just share. Sometimes it's really profound. Sometimes she'll share things that I had no idea were going on in her world, things that she's encouraged by, things that she's discouraged by. Sometimes it'll be pretty small. She'll say, you know, babe, there's not much on my heart right now. And then I'll ask this question. Here's another great question you should learn to ask your spouse. How am I doing? Great ways to have quality conversations, to speak and hear emotions, to have togetherness, to have focused attention, to have that quality time. What's on your heart? How am I doing? Those are fantastic questions to ask your spouse. And some of Kim and I's most meaningful moments of connection, of togetherness in our marriage, it sounds silly, is when we're just walking up and down the street. We did it when we had our condo. We do it now where we live in our house today. We just close the door. The kids are in bed. We keep an eye on it, and we walk, and we talk for 20, 30 minutes, sometimes even 45 minutes, being together, having focused attention. That's me. What's your world? Maybe it's you guys like to go hiking together. Maybe it's that you guys like to go boating together. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's skiing. Some couples I know like to go climbing together. Maybe it's working out together. Maybe that's a thing that you guys both value that helps quality time, that brings about quality conversations, that you guys like to go jogging together or keep your body fit together. Maybe it is movies. I know a lot of creative people that like to go watch movies. And maybe with your spouse, you go and you watch this movie, and it's not just receiving information, it's seeing the movie and then talking about what you liked about it. What did you like about that movie? What struck your heart in that movie? What did you like visually about that movie? What was your favorite actor in that movie? What kind of things can you apply to our life from that movie? It's about being together, having quality time, quality conversation, focused attention, togetherness. So that's the second love language. Here is your homework. If you are a quality time person, take a walk together through one of your old neighborhoods, if you can. Tell your spouse where you grew up. Go through your old neighborhood. Kim and I do that a lot. I'm very nostalgic about my old neighborhood. Ask some questions about it. What is your favorite childhood memory in this neighborhood? What are some things that you did in this neighborhood? What things did you learn? What were you doing out here? Tell me about your house. What was your room like? Tell me about your neighbors. What was the most fun that you had in this house? What was the most painful thing that happened in this house? Quality time. Do that this week if you can. Here's the third of five love languages: gifts, giving, and receiving. This is pretty basic. Gifts are visual symbols of love, whether they're items that you make or you buy, or simply just the gift of yourself, the gift of your presence. Gifts demonstrate that you care, that you're thinking about them when you're apart. They represent the value of your relationship. And you guys get this, physical gifts. Guys, this could be cards, it could be flowers, it can be notes, it can be something that you are thinking about your spouse with, that you give them. And that's a big deal, especially if your spouse's love language is receiving gifts or gift giving. I've asked Kim before, what are some things that I can give you that would help our marriage physically? What are some things that you like? And I was like teed up that she was going to say something big. And she said, honestly, Steele, the best gifts that you can give me are notes, mochas, a brownie, and sometimes flowers. It's like, check, totally do that. Really easy thing for me to give that communicates that I'm thinking about her. I have a lot of appointments at Starbucks. I'll go home. I'll buy her a mocha. It means something to her. The other morning, just recently, she said, I had an early morning meeting, and I came back, and she said, Steele, what you did for me this morning really meant a lot to me. And I was like, what did I do this morning? What happened this morning? What are you talking? I said, honey, what are you talking about? She said, you left me a note. I was like, oh, you're right. I left a note in front of the coffee pot. This is how easy it was. Right on the coffee pot, I said, I love you. You're hot. Boom. Meant a lot to her. You can give physical gifts. Find that out with your spouse. Do they like to receive gifts? Is that part of their love language? Or there's the gift of self. This is really easy to explain. It means being available. Kind of plays into that quality time idea. Being available. Allow yourself to be interrupted. Now, again, I can only speak about my own marriage, but working from home can be a difficult thing sometimes. But Kim and I have decided that when we talk with one another, it is best if I walk away from my computer. So she'll ask me something, and a lot of the times I could just be in my own will, be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She'll say, can you walk away from your computer? Can you give me just 5 minutes of your time? Yes, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to allow myself to be interrupted. That's something that she has learned to say to me when I know she wants to look at my eyeballs. She's not just asking a question. She's saying, Steele, can I have the gift of yourself? Can I have just 5 minutes when you get a second? So we don't talk looking at the computer. Or another easy thing to do when you're married, don't eat at the dinner table with your phone. How easy is that to do? It's so easy just to be, No, put your phone away. Kim and I have tried to make that a habit when we're eating dinner, just to put our phones in our pocket or put it in another room. Give them the gift of yourself. Be available. When you are in marriage and you're getting a little older and you have a lot more dinners at home, don't eat with the TV on. That's another thing. We come from a generation. I came from a generation that always was eating with the television on. We are always like eating and just looking at the TV. Turn the TV off or put the TV in the basement. Put it away from somewhere public. Give them the gift of yourself. So starting today, if that is you, if you have a gift giving and receiving love language, give your partner a gift every day of the week. You can do that. Write them a note. Give her a flower. Bring her some chocolates. Fix the bike, whatever. Give her some gifts. Give him some gifts. Number four, acts of service. Galatians 5:13, it says this, serve one another in love. Again, this is pretty self-explanatory. Acts of service should be freely given. They should never be demanded. That means no guilt trips. And Mac alluded to that in our last session, that there should be no power play here. They should be freely given, not demanded. It's not, well, if I do this, you do that. That's not how acts of service works. We understand that our spouse's love language is that of service. You find out what lights them up. You freely offer to do it for them. And that way they feel loved. They feel treasured. They feel appreciated. Give them acts of service. And again, this is a good time to say this. What you do for each other before marriage, during that magical rainbow stage, is not the same thing that you are going to do after you get married. Okay? You need to keep that in mind. You need to work at this. Acts of service are freely given. They're never demanded. One of those things for Kim is she sometimes said, babe, could you please, when we have young babies, we have Sol, who's now 7 months, but when he was first born, or all of my kids, she would say, I'm going to be feeding him all night long. Would you mind waking up at the 5:30 feeding and feeding our baby? That's an easy thing for me to do. That's a way to serve her. It was freely given to her. She didn't demand it from me. Acts of service, that's also one of the things that I do to show love to Kim. That's one of the ways that I communicate love. I like to clean the house. I like to do the bills. I like to fix the cars. I like to make sure that the house is in a running order. And in the first part of our marriage, I remember I was like vacuuming the house and I had budgeted the bills and Kim just thought it was a way for me to do my own thing. She just thought that I was kind of in my own world and I wanted to do whatever pleased me. And so there was some tension at the very beginning of our marriage because she thought, well, Steele's just on his own plan. And so we had to sit down with each other and go, babe, I'm doing these things because I love you. It's not just because I'm neurotic and have some OCD. It's because I'm budgeting the checkbook, I'm vacuuming, I'm cleaning the cars, I'm making sure the tires are rotated, I'm making sure all these things are working because I'm showing you that you are taken care of. I'm showing you that I love you. I want you to know that you are safe. I want you to know that I'm trying to show my love for you. I'm trying to prove my love for you in doing these things. And so now, when she sees me doing those things, she feels very loved because she knows that's one way that I'm showing her love. So if you're an acts of service person, that's your love language, do some major acts of service this week. This is your homework. Do some major acts like wash your spouse's car or cook a meal or fix something or paint a room or wash the deck and then put a big sign up that says, to my partner with love, and sign your name. Of course, put your partner's, don't just say partner, put your spouse's name there. It's like, partner, who's this for? All right, last one. Again, we're blazing through these. Each one of these has lots of implications, and I could talk forever on. Great book, Five Love Languages, for more in-depth stuff. Physical touch. Mark 10:16, Jesus says he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Physical touch, appropriate physical touch, is a very common but misunderstood expression of love. And it really does. For those of you that are physical touch people, it reaches to the depth of your being. It is a powerful form of communication. It's a powerful way to express love. And it goes, and Mac talked about this in the last session, but it goes way beyond sex as a married couple. Now, obviously, when you're married, that's part of physical touch, the expression of sex, but it's way more than just that. It can just be the simplest touch. It can be holding hands. It can be an unexpected kiss. Now, honestly, I think I have all five of these love languages in some degree, maybe because I'm just some sort of artistic guy, but this one has become way more important to me in the last 2 years since my mom's died. It's really weird that I actually need this one now, because I will come home from the day, or the day will be done, and I'll sit next to Kim, and I've told her, honey, I need you to just touch me. I need you to touch my head, or this is really silly, can you just play with my ears? Sounds kind of stupid, but like touch my ears or hold my hand or whatever it is, because when my mom died, for some reason, with both my parents being gone, I feel really alone. I don't know what that's all about, but it's something that I've had to work through to go, babe, it means a lot to me when you just rub the side of my head for a second. It's not some like massage where the candles are lit and Enya's playing in the background. It's just hanging out, holding my hand, touching my head, rubbing my ear, touching my, whatever it is, because it explains to me, you love me. It's communicating to me, I'm not alone. For some reason, it's a big deal, okay? And if you're a physical touch person, you understand that it's way more than just the intimacy of sex. That's a part of it, but it's simply holding hands or something like that. So you need to learn about your spouse. Is this one of their love languages? And what does that look like? And what kind of physical touch do they enjoy? And is it holding hands? Is it kissing? Is it massages? What is it? And so here's your homework if you're a physical touch person. When you sit, if you come to this church or Friday night church or Saturday or Sunday, when you sit together in church, whoever it is who says they're going to pray, if it's the worship leader or the pastor or whatever it is, just grab your partner's hand. Just grab their hand. Or when you drive around, grab their hand. Or when you go on a walk, hold their hand. Okay? Just a really easy way to express your love or to communicate, I'm with you. You're not alone. I value you. I treasure you. It's a big deal. It's more than just a handhold to those that have a physical touch for their love language. So you guys, your homework, it's way deeper than just today. You need to find out your top two love languages. Now, we might have a flurry of all of them, right? But what are your top two? And then you need to express that to one another. We cannot forget this. Love is a command. It's a command. It's not an emotion. It's deeper than emotion. It is a command. God commands us to love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no closer neighbor you will have than your spouse. If you know yourself and how you tick, you're to love your neighbor, love your spouse. You're to know them, know how they tick. You got to figure that out. It is something that you work on. It avoids those ridiculous feelings of falling out of love. It creates intimacy. It heals. It creates security. It fills up that love tank. So find out what your top two love languages are and communicate them to each other. And remember, it's beyond you wanting to. It's a command. If your love language is not physical touch, it doesn't matter if your spouse's is. You do it because you love them. You do it because you're commanded to. They're your neighbor. They're your closest neighbor. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get on to the next one. Lord Jesus, thank you for these five love languages. Thank you that we can learn so much from them. God, we pray that we would be men and women who know and understand our spouse. That, Lord, we would learn our love languages and that we would speak that love language. In your name, Jesus. Amen.